You guys want to make an apology. You shouldn't typically not apologize when you start speaking, but it's something that I'm often guilty of doing. I'm a little bit tired, or a lot tired, so I apologize. And also, I don't know why I have a hard time whenever there's like noise in the background. This is like some form of, and then trying to focus. If I look a little bit unfocused, it would just like start like waving your hand or something and bring me back. You know, it's a great statement of our yeshiva that there's always like musr possibilities. There's musr shmuzim, there's nightly musr shmuzim, there's sichus musr. There in theory is a musr seder, which has always happened with more or less success over the years. But musr is something. You know, you walk in the base medrash, people have a musr svarim out. I'm blessed to learn with a number of you, sifri musr. Something that I speak a lot about with Ravi is that it's not so much the idea of like limud musr, but it's like to cultivate a musr personality. And just my personality or maybe my style and what I've enjoyed before as far as musr, you know, it's not so much somebody getting up and shouting and breaking a shtender, making somebody feel guilty, right? That's like really not what musr is. Musr is just like, just reflection. It's often very quiet. It's like self-analysis. It's just reflecting about ourselves. It's like quiet moments of just an assessment of the kochos and nefesh. It's like to build a musr personality, which again, it's often not loud. It's not public. Like the musr personality is like, it's like a quiet gavra. It's a quiet entity. I heard Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky say, so the difference between sort of like limud musr and musr personality, it's not always the same thing. You know, people know that not everyone was a big fan of Slobodka, right? Slobodka was a yeshiva where a very, very serious Gemara yeshiva, but a lot of time, especially if you were in the cohort with the altar, so then a lot of time spent on musr, you know, hours and hours. The musr where we saw Salanter, it wasn't, okay, get up and say like a vork for 5 minutes. It's like go to the musr klois, sit down for 3 hours, you know, analyze every piece of your life, why I said this, why I said that. And for certain people, they felt that was like Bittul Torah. They thought that it was too much. So there was a breakaway from Slobodka and they opened the Yeshiva Knesset Beis Yitzchak, which was the Yeshiva of Rav Baruch Ber. So Rav Baruch Ber was not what you would call like one of the Bali Musar. If you open up any of the Svarim of like the history of the Musar movement, right? And there's a lot of Svarim on this topic. And if you're interested about this topic, you're not going to find Rav Baruch Ber in any of those Svarim. You would find him in the chapters and people sort of that opposed the creation of the Musar movement. Now, Yaakov said, that being said, understand who Rav Baruch Ber was. Rav Baruch Ber, of course, was the author of the Birch HaShmuel, primary Talmud of Rav Chaim. Rav Baruch Ber had a daughter, and the daughter found a shidduch. Anybody know the story? Listen, you know, who's Rav Baruch Ber's daughter is by marriage? You know, she didn't marry the, you know, whatever. She married a guy. She married one of the top guys. And then, you know, pity on the guy who's like this type of knucklehead, who then has to speak to Rav Baruch Ber about it. This guy got a better offer from like a wealthy businessman in Vilna who wanted the future son of Baruch Ber to marry his daughter and say, he says, I got a better deal, more years learning, more dowry, more. So he asked Rav Baruch Ber if he could sort of pull out of the shidduch with his daughter. Again, not a comfortable conversation per se, right? So Rav Baruch Ber said, listen, it's a big loss for the family, but absolutely. And the guy said, well, Rebbe, but there's another thing. The person in Vilna wants a letter from my Rosh Yeshiva recommending me for the shidduch for his daughter. Can I have a letter attesting to my character? So Rav Baruch Ber did, he says, absolutely, but I want just an hour just to, and he sat down and he wrote this beautiful letter, you know, attesting to the very genuine character traits of this person. And then he realized that he might be somewhat nogei b'davar, he might have some slight negios in this matter. So he brought in a few of the rabbanim in the yeshiva to look through the letter, make sure the letter was exactly. Now, that's a person who opposed the Musar movement. But think about sort of the quality of that Musar personality, of just the refinement in everything that we do quietly. So I want to speak about a topic just in the few minutes that we have. What time is it? 9:47. Okay, we're quite late already. A topic that is very critical to me, and it's really a Musar topic. It's a topic of self-development and self-growth. And it's not something that maybe we spend a lot of time talking about in yeshiva, and that's the topic of simcha, right? You know, in yeshiva, you speak about Arbei Psachim. You're going to be spending a lot of time speaking about Hezek Re'iyah next year. Get used to your full of various issues of Shutfos in the first paragraph of Basra. You speak maybe about Shmona Esrei. I mean, there's a lot that you speak about in yeshiva. You speak about fundamental happiness. Do I go through life with a feeling of joyfulness? Is that pervasive? Do I learn about it? Do I speak about it? Do I have a deep chaver about it? Like, and simcha, it's tachas asher levata shumkecha b'simcha l'tuv leiva. Like, our whole ability to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes through simcha. And it's something we just sort of forget about. And I want to, I guess, confess, I had such a schus this morning and last night as well. Woke up like very, very early this morning. So I was able to get some learning in. Davened at an early meeting at Shiners. Have we ever done the Shiners before besides Chaim and Asher? Shiners is awesome. For those of you who have not been there before, it's like you can go to Shiners, daven any minion at any time of day, literally. I don't mean to make like a joke, but I literally showed up to a minion in Shiners, davening Shmona Esrei for Mariv, and then the guy started Chazar Shashat for Mincha. It was like 10 o'clock at night already, and Shkiva 2 hours beforehand. So you can daven any minion and get food and have your shotness checked and get a vaccine. It's like, it's an unbelievable, no, seriously, it's like an unbelievable matzav. So I down like an early, early minion next to these like couple great chassidim and shiners. It's hard to describe the level of joyfulness on a beautiful spring morning, an early morning davening in the corner of a Beis Medrash, surrounded by sort of all sorts of different types of Jews. And I tried to sort of think about like where that joyfulness comes from. Like, what's the essence of joyfulness? So there's so much to think about. If I had like a couple hours, we can go into topic, more extensively. I would say that simcha definitely is a reflection of the ability and the capacity and the decision of how we want to view our lives, right? Of how, from me, come, right? Of, like how we want to view our lives. You know, each one of us are made up of like thousands of like microcosmic pieces, internally, externally, our history, our parents, our families, our communities, our victories, our losses, our vicissitudes, our strengths. You know what the Sfas Emes says? The Sfas Emes says, such a beautiful idea about the Sfas Emes. He says, Don es kol ha'adam l'kaf zchus. He said that you should judge. What does that mean, the Mishnah? Don es kol ha'adam l'kaf zchus? What's the posh of shot for that? Or the way that normally we'd understand that? It means like you judge every person favorably. So Sfas Emes says, no, that's not what it means. That would be Don es kol adam l'kaf zchus. Don es kol ha'adam means that we look at the entirety, the totality of a person, the totality of experience, where he comes from. And this is a question that, I don't know if Joan is here or not, Joan is here. Question about Avas Yisrael, about loving people that you posed last week. Right? I could choose to look at this really obnoxious thing that you're doing. By the way, if you have a chance, take a look at this beautiful Midrash Shmuel, Anosib Olos Chaveiro, Girki Avos. And I could choose to look at that behavior, or I could choose to look at 1,000 other things, right? I could choose to look at at the beautiful things, or maybe your history, or why you're acting a certain type of way, or maybe something is coming from pain. And then when I see all of that, like a totally different perspective, the joyfulness of my interaction with that person. The Simcha Rav Kook says, by Havas Bikurim, where a person can look back on their life, of Rami Ovid Avi, of where we've come from, and the Gula from Mitzrayim, and coming to Eretz Yisrael, and having a nachala on the land, and planting the field, and bringing the fruit to Yerushalayim. Like, I can look at that entire history, and when that's the case, so obviously there's a mitzvah simcha by Bikurim, because I've chosen to look about my life in a certain type of way. And all of us can look at our lives, every single person. My wife doesn't do this properly, right? You guys are not married yet, but I'm putting money in the bank that this would be something you could say when you're married. Oh, you know, every single person in this room. Oh, my wife doesn't do this, and my kids don't do that, and my in-laws this, my parents that. I didn't get this, I needed that. I'm not making as much money as I want to make or as I need to make. There are 10 guys in share better than I am. I'm not where I want to be. There's 1,000 different arenas in how a person can evaluate their life, where a person can sit there and with a genuine sense of shefa, just like this shefa of brachos in a person's life. Like I'm breathing and I'm living and I've just, and a person makes a decision. And then you bring that decision or that energy into every piece of your life. You walk into a base medrash, you walk into a shul, you walk into a cafeteria, you walk back into your house. It's a person conveying that sense of just that overwhelming sense of simcha. It's another piece of simcha as well. We only have a couple minutes left, so I guess I'll just conclude with this thought. You know, Rav Soloveitchik spoke frequently about the idea of simcha. And the idea of simcha is being lifnei Hashem, being in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, lifnei Hashem. And that's why Sukkos, of course, the focus is on simcha, because Sukkos comes after the Yom Ha'arayim, so by Sukkos we have simcha twice. It's like more of the holiday of lifnei Hashem and Yisach HaMayim, etc. But when I think about the idea of lifnei Hashem, and maybe that's what the Rav meant, but this is only what I was thinking about this morning, is, and maybe to some degree this is what I mentioned before. But let's say a person evaluates their life, and a person can evaluate their life or feel into their life or breathe into their life in like so many different types of ways. Person can walk into shul and my mind is on yesterday. A test I didn't do well on, a bechina I didn't do well on, the various frustrations of life, I'm feeling exhausted, the 1,000 things that might have happened at some point in the past. And a person brings that into their life. And then a person also brings into their life like the future. Even if you're not the most anxious person in the world, like, what am I doing today and where am I going? What do I have to do? What's happening tomorrow? I didn't find a job yet for the summer. I still have to prepare my chaburis for this white polel, and this is happening, this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, my mind is like in a different type of place. It's not like right now. I'm not like present right now, but I'm just like, and unknowingly, we're always living in two different dimensions. Right? Dimensions of the past, regrets, shame, frustrations, disappointments. Dimensions of the future, worries, anxieties, questions. Should I start dating? Should I not start dating? There's a person I want to date. Maybe she'll want to date me. Maybe when she'll be available. She's not available. She is available. Just like, and take that and you can multiply that. You can multiply that by 20. And that's not being lifnei Hashem. That's being like stuck in my own sort of place. That's almost like my own self-will. That's like my own being that just has like leaked out everywhere, right? A person's lifnei Hashem, it's like completely simplifying their life. At this moment, I can clear away everything. I can clear away the past. I can clear away the future. I can clear away worries. I can clear away self-doubt. And at this moment, my life is absolutely majestic and perfect. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I can feel my heart beating. I can connect to my breath, slow, rhythmic breathing. And the breath, of course, is the nefesh chaya. I have a brain in my head. I'm living a majestic life in this singular moment. And when that happens, a person is completely fnei Hashem. It is, and it is so overpowering, that feeling. And that's why I experienced a little bit this morning, just at davening, that sense of that there was nothing other than standing there, present, the consciousness of the majestic nature of my life. Now, that's really the great gift of tefillah. Let's say if a person didn't have tefillah, a person didn't have prayer, they were just going. They were just like a mahalich. They're not an omid. I go from here, and then I go over there, and then I go over there, and then I have to be over there, and then, blah, 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 and then you're just going again, like, you're not present. You're not an omen. The joy of tefillah, just to sit. And I know for myself personally, when I daven, I take a few phrases every day. And I just stand. Achayenu hamesurim biyodecha v'al nishmaseinu havakud aslach. Just stand. And the joyfulness of that life. The joyfulness of that life. So I give all of you guys a bracha for some mazel tov to so many of you who finished Pesachim, and mazel to those who didn't, but you guys are here to feel joy in what we're doing, to make the decisions of what we want to look at in our life, what we want to focus on, what we want to see in ourselves, what we want to see in others, what we want to take from our past, what we want to emphasize in our own lives. And lastly, the joyfulness of simply being an Omei Lifnei Hashem, clearing away the past, clearing away the future, standing in the majestic present. By doing so, by being Omdim, we're able to experience full simcha. We're able to say about ourselves that we've Anis Filasi. We're people who are defined by prayer, because prayer expresses that feeling of being Omei Lifnei Hashem. And we should continue to grow in our Torah and in our learning, until we can ultimately come back to Shalayim and Havas Karbanos, completely present with Nehemiah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thank you, guys.